Turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 41. Give it a little title, I'm not quite sure, but it'll be something like this. Get ready in the good years for the bad years. Or get ready in the good times for the bad times. History tells us that there are times of prosperity and there are times of famine. The Bible tells us there are times of prosperity and there are times of famine. Human experience, if you've been around for any length of time, tells us there's a time of prosperity and there's a time of famine. That we should get ready in the good times for the bad times. That God's in charge of the good times and God's in charge of the bad times. The rain falls on the just and the rain falls on the unjust. And we as Christians, in the age in which we live, we should be knowledgeable of our world. I believe you should know what's going on in your world. I believe you should watch the news. I believe you should take a good look at science. I believe you should be well informed as a Christian. But most of all, you should know what the Word of God has to say. And that's the important thing. So, here we are. My question is, why are you here? Now think about that. Why are you here? What chain of events throughout your life brought you here on this 22nd day of November? What's going on around you in your world in which you live? And where's it all heading? You're in Genesis chapter 41, beginning at verse 25. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but it's very relevant for today. Because here's a believer that found himself in the 30th year of his life doing something for God that he probably never would have thought possible. Genesis 41, verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one." Now, I didn't read that, but Pharaoh had some dreams. He was the king of Egypt, and he had some dreams. And in his dreams, he looked out and he saw 7 fat cows coming out of the river. That was quite a thing. And then he saw 7 lean cows coming out of the river. And the 7 lean cows ate the 7 fat cows. Now that'll wake you up, but it didn't wake up Pharaoh. Then he saw some grain growing, and it had a lot of potential, 7 ears. And then he looked and saw 7 withered and really unappealing, unsightly, deficient ears of corn. And they ate the 7 really good ears. And then he awakened. The other night I had a dream that somebody with a knife was coming at our house. And I awakened too. But it wasn't. It was just a dream. But it was enough to wake me up. This dream was enough to make Pharaoh realize there's something about this dream that's not normal. So here we are, verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, as he brought him before him, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the 7 thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. And after them, 7 years of famine will arise. And all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe." And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man, set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." That's quite an account. You know, that actually happened. That's recorded in the Word of God. God revealed to Joseph, via Pharaoh's dream, what the next 14 years would be. 14 years is a long time. Some of our kids downstairs in the nursery, they'll be out of high school in 14 years. Hopefully, 14 years. Next 14 years. I know a lot of you are wondering, because I wonder too, what the next year is going to be like, let alone the next 14 years. But God revealed to Pharaoh, through Joseph, what the next 14 years were going to be like. Do you know what it tells us? It tells us that Pharaoh was not in charge of the next 14 years. And Joseph wasn't in charge of the next 14 years. It tells us that God was in charge of the next 14 years. In your life, God is in charge of the next 14 years. You don't want to forget that. Some unfortunate individuals are having a nervous breakdown because they think some man's in charge of the next 14 years. For the next 4 years, man's not in charge of the next 4 years. God is in charge of the next 4 years. So it means there's not going to be a famine? Oh, I don't know that. God knows that. God knows when to give plenty, and God knows when to give famine. And God has a purpose to give plenty, and God has a purpose to give famine. It's not our world. It's His. But the thing is, we should be in tune with God, and we should understand that principle that we find in the Word of God. Joseph had been in Egypt now for 13 years. He came there as a 17-year-old. Now he's 30 years old. Been in prison, been falsely accused, been rejected by his brothers, and sold into slavery. Wow. 13 years. But in 13 years, he finds himself before Pharaoh. What did he do in those 13 years? Well, I believe there's one thing that Joseph kept in mind through those 13 years. God. God allowed it. And if God allowed it, then God had a purpose. And he left that with God. Joseph knew something about God. Because you see, in Joseph was the Spirit of the living God to give him the wisdom to know what to do and what to say. I wonder what kind of a world change we could bring about if we allowed the Spirit of God that dwells within us to use us to his honor and glory. Not fight against it. I wonder, really. 2 years, Joseph had been forgotten by the butler whose dream he interpreted, and the butler said he would never forget Joseph, but he did. He forgot Joseph. Then when Pharaoh had the dream, oh, light went on inside his head. Times were hard for Joseph. The butler forgot Joseph. But there's one who didn't forget Joseph. God. God didn't forget Joseph. At the proper time, God brought Joseph to the forefront. We always think help will come from people. We always think, if it's a medical thing, I'll go see the right doctor and I'll get this fixed. There's got to be the right doctor out there somewhere that's going to fix my problem. The right person. We look for the right person to lead us, and we look for the right person to give us advice. Always the right person. Looking to man. I'm not saying it's all bad, for sure. We should get counsel, but what about God? It doesn't always come from people. Sometimes it comes from God. Psalm 60, verse 1 says this. It's a prayer. O God, you have cast us off. You have broken us down. You have been displeased. O restore us again. The psalmist came before God and said, God, you've done this. Now you have our attention. What do you want us to do that we might be restored? I'd like to see the church doing that. It's not. I'd like to see the church in America doing that. It's not. But wouldn't it be nice if it would? Maybe there'll be a chain of events to take place that'll bring people to say, oh God, you've brought this upon us. Deliver us. Wouldn't it be something? Men shouldn't be worshipped, and materialism shouldn't be worshipped. Men should not be worshipped, and materialism should not be worshipped. And in our world, we worship materialism, and we worship men. We shouldn't do that. Psalm 146, verse 3 says, Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. What a deflating statement. No, it's not a deflating statement at all. It's an encouraging statement. Because folks, we are living in prosperous times, and maybe hard times are coming. So we should take advantage of prosperous times for the hard times that are coming. And by taking advantage of the prosperous times, we should draw ourselves closer to God, so when the hard times come, we'll make it through. We should gather up the things of God now while we have the opportunity, so many opportunities, because the time might be coming when we don't have those opportunities. We should be ready. So here's the message. God revealed this plan to Pharaoh, a man who didn't know him at all, stranger. And God revealed the plan to Pharaoh. What does that tell us? It tells us that people who might rule over us, people whom we don't agree with, people who are godless, God can get right inside their head. God can make them see things, hear things, experience things, that brings them to the place whereby they're going to talk to somebody that knows the living God. Isn't that a miracle? We look at people, we say, well, they have no use for God and blah, blah, blah. But you think God can't reach them? You see Paul, Saul, riding by on his horse, going to persecute Christians. Nobody could reach that man. He's impossible. He's evil. I'd like to see the fire of God come down and just burn him up. You don't think God could get inside his head? We've got to start looking at things biblically. God can get inside the head of a pagan king and save a country. Isn't that something? And that's not the last time that happened. That happened to the Babylonian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar. He had a dream. He saw an image. Head was gold, breast silver, stomach, thighs, bronze, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay. Something about that dream. He didn't understand it, but there was a man in the kingdom who understood it. And he told Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold, but you're not going to last. This kingdom of Babylon is not going to last. There's going to be another kingdom, Medes and Persians. They're going to have their time in the sun, but they're not going to last. Then it's going to be the Greeks, powerful nation. Talk about Blitzkrieg. They invented Blitzkrieg before the Germans had it. But they didn't last. They were replaced by Rome. Rome covered the globe. They thought, power of the Caesars. But they didn't last. Then the feet. Iron and clay mixed together? Iron and clay do not mix together. But iron and clay together? A revived Roman Empire of iron and clay? Let's think about that. Iron and clay. What are they talking about? I don't know what it's talking about. So I made this up. Could communism and capitalism get together to follow a person? Is that possible? Could a dictatorship and a monarchy get together and follow a person? There are so many different forms of government throughout the world. Wouldn't it be a strange thing if somebody came on the scene and could bring these different ways of looking at government together for Satan? Wouldn't that be something? I mean, you old folks here like myself that have come through this looking at communism, did you ever think that in China you'd have capitalism mixed up with communism? You would have never believed that. That's not what we were taught. That's not how it works. But yet it evolves. Seems like strange. That's why I believe that we as Christians should know history. We as Christians should know science. We as Christians should read literature. But not at the expense of avoiding the Word of God. We certainly need to know the Word of God. But we need to know the world in which we live, if we want to be a real testimony for Christ. Nebuchadnezzar later on had another dream, saw a tree. A tree that was cut down. If you're around me and I'm cutting down a tree, run. Figure out the height of the tree and stay away, at least that distance away. But Nebuchadnezzar realized there was something about that tree. Daniel told him in a while. Later on, Belshazzar saw something different. He saw a hand come out of nowhere. write on the wall at a party. That'll wake you up. Even if you're drunk, that'll wake you up. So God used that. God works in many different ways. God can still do that today. God can do anything he wants to do. Get somebody's attention. God put words in the mouth of Balaam. That's not what he wanted to say, but that's what he said. God gives abundance, and God takes away abundance. God gives life, and then God takes away life. He's God. There's a time to store, and there's a time to give. He said, so the country may not be ruined. I think we as Christians, we have the opportunity to get to know God and draw ourselves close to God. Learn things about God, whatever way that is. We should gather up as much as we can, because there could very well come a time when that's not going to be possible. But if we do what we're supposed to do in the good times, when those times come, we're going to be all right. We're going to flourish. We're going to be fruitful. And you know the thing that we should desire as Christians is to be fruitful. What else is there? We're not taking anything with us unless we're fruitful with God. The Pharaoh realized that nobody had the answer except Joseph. That man in which he said was the Spirit of God was in Joseph. Joseph had the answers. Back to Joseph. Joseph in a pit. Joseph in a prison. And then Joseph, second to the most powerful man in the world at that time. See, only God can do that. Only God can do that. Now, at 17, he was sold as a slave. And at 30, he becomes second only to Pharaoh. That happened after 13 years of imprisonment. Wow. It's not a hymn. I think it's a Negro spiritual. Hold on. There are times when you've just got to hold on. Just hold on. Hang on to that anchor. Joseph knew this, that we should know as Christians. It's a fundamental thing. Joseph knew God had a plan and God had a purpose. Now we're reading about man's plan. Man has all kinds of plans. And sometimes we read man's plan and we go, oh boy. But listen, it's only man's plan. It's not God's plan. God's plan is better than man's plan. God's in charge, not man. We need to get back to the one who's in charge. We need to get back to what is a reality for a believer. God has given us his word, and God keeps his word. Four verses in this passage, which we read. More than that, I guess. We'll go back a little. Verse 16. And I want you to notice a pattern here. Look for a pattern. Verse 16. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Verse 28. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Verse 32. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. You notice that? Every verse. Joseph is not drawing attention to himself. Joseph is not being puffed up. Joseph is directing the attention, the focus of all that's being said towards God. The focus should not be on me, Pharaoh. It's God. Again, it's God who is speaking. Warning. Pharaoh, this is what God is doing. Remember that. Christian, get back to God. What God's doing. What's God doing? All that Joseph went through in his young life, up to 30 years of age, all that he went through was to bring him to this place at this time. Remember, I said, why are you here? The answer really should be, because God brought me here. I can look back over my life at different junctures, and two roads diverged in the yellow wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And then there was another juncture, and I made a decision. And today, 2020, November the 22nd, sitting here. That's how it works. There would be more days for Joseph. I don't know if he knew it at that time, really. I probably had a vague idea, but there would be a day when he would hear from his security force that there was a group of people coming, and they were Hebrews. And Joseph would realize that they were his brothers. That paled in the light of standing before Pharaoh. That was so much more than standing before Pharaoh. His brothers were coming, literally, to be saved. And he was going to be a key. How would you like to be a key to your brothers being saved? How would you like to be a key to your sisters being saved? How would you like to be a key to your kids being saved? How would you like to be a key to your parents being saved? What greater thing could there be? That's why the Son of Man came. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. How'd that happen? On the cross. Oh, they recognized him as God and they put him on the throne and everything was taken care of throughout the world. And No, that's not how it happened. I was surfing through the Christian channels yesterday, which I shouldn't have been doing. But so this lady, very prosperous lady, husband's worth, I think, $35 million. She's preaching. She's probably 70-some years old. Looks like she's 30. Took some money to do that, I'll tell you that. She said, my husband and I are protected. My children are protected. My grandchildren are protected. Nothing. Any disease, they're protected. Nothing can touch them. COVID can't touch them. They don't have to wear a mask. Well, she didn't say that, but that's what she was pointing at. That doesn't line up with Scripture. Now, she used Scripture, but she took it out of context. There's no way that lines up with Scripture. There are too many situations in Scripture like the one we're reading about here. And then you look around at Christians' lives and you read about missionaries that have worked on the field and things they've gone through and you say, that doesn't line up with what she's saying. Because what she's saying is a lie. A total lie. It's not the way life is. Life is made up of the good and the bad. Life is made up of prosperity and famine. Life is made up of health and sickness. And I look at these people and I say, I wonder how they're going to die.
It would be strange if that group of people actually live forever. People would certainly want to find out what the source of their longevity is.
But they don't live forever. They die of some disease. But there's a market for that out there. And you know what? People pay to listen to that. But people that have spent time in the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, they know better than that. Stay away from that. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It's a false gospel. The plan was not Joseph. The wisdom was not Joseph. It came from God. I want to read a little story to you about a blind man. His name was Eric. Must have been German. Weihemeyer. He was blind. When you're blind, you just live in a small world. Not Eric. May 25, 2001. He reached the peak of Mount Everest. Suffering from degenerative eye disease, he lost his sight when he was 13 years old. But it didn't stop him. On a mountain where 90% of the climbers never make it to the top. 90% of the climbers that have their sight never make it to the top. 165 have died since 1953. Eric succeeded. In large measure because he listened well. He listened to the little bell tied to the back of the climber in front of him so he would know what direction to go. He listened to the voice of teammates who would shout back to him, "Death fall, 2 feet to your right." So he would know what direction not to go. He listened to the sound of his pick jabbing the ice so he would know whether the ice was safe to cross. He made it.
I'm not saying he was a Christian. I have no idea of that. I just know he made it. He lived life after losing his eyesight. He obviously lived a life that kept him able-bodied. Worry, stress, disappointments kill. These are emotions God can keep from dominating our lives.
When you look at the things that made it possible, you can bring that into the Christian experience like this. If we're going to be successful, because we don't see tomorrow, and we don't see next year, we don't see 14 years now, but if we're going to be successful with God, we've got to listen. You got to listen. Now believe me, over the years I've heard that a lot. Gary, listen. Listen. James 1:19, James says, "My brothers and sisters, always be willing to listen. Slow to speak. Listen." Jeremiah put it like this, chapter 5, verse 21.
Hear this, O foolish and senseless people. Now that'll make you listen. Who have eyes but see not, who have ears but hear not. Have eyes, can't see, have ears, can't hear. That doesn't mean they had a birth defect. It means they weren't looking and they weren't listening. Boaz said to Ruth, found this girl in his field. And he said this to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Why do you have to say that? Because we're prone not to. Will you listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Don't go anywhere else, stay here. Prone to wander, even Christians. Go here, listen to this one, go there, listen to that one, go there, listen to that one. Talking to somebody the other day, and she was saying whom she listened to on TV. Listen to this one, and I'm like, ugh. Listen to that one, yeah. Listen to this one, ugh. Listen to what God said. Listen to what God has to say. 66 books. 40 different authors. 2,000 years. I mean, if we're going to get a handle on that book, we really have to get into it. Can't spend all your time just listening to this one and that one and going here and going there. You really have to get into that book. Because God promises to bless His Word. That's what He promises. Secondly, Eric made it up there because he listened. He made it up there because he learned what made for a good, secure hold. He couldn't see, but he could feel. He could hear. He'd drive that pick in the ice. He knew whether it was solid or not because he felt it, heard it. You see, what part you lack, you have to make up for some other way, and he made up for it some other way. He learned the difference. There are things we need to learn. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says, look carefully then how you walk. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. We live in Maine. Winter's coming. Not bad today. Parking lot's okay. You put a little dusting of snow on top of that. There are a few places where there is some ice. You put a little dusting of snow on top of that. You're walking across there. You feel good. And then, boom! You live in Maine. This happens every year. I fell down one time in front of the pickup. There were some people there. And I got up and they said, oh, it must be awful. I said, no, it happens every once in a while. But I said, I don't break anything. I think it's the Castonian in me. You know, it comes out of Quebec somewhere. I can fall down. I can get back up, keep on going. Glad I have that. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. We live in an evil day. We absorb that every day. Evil around us. Evil conversations. You better be careful. That's where we live. That's our environment. 1 John 4:1, John says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Don't believe every spirit. Don't do that. That same person I was listening to, they're telling a story about this fellow who died. He was really dead. He was decaying and everything. Brought him back to life. Everybody out there, oh, wow, hey, man, God, that's good. Made that up. Just made it up. Don't believe every spirit. Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. By philosophy and empty deceit. Make sure they don't take you captive by that. You get those calls, telephone rings. Sometimes it's 444 number. One time it was my own number. I said, I'm calling myself. I didn't even know I dialed. Some guy told me, I need a back brace. I don't know why I need a back brace. Probably figured I was 68. I must need a back brace. One guy went down through a whole list of things that I needed in case I need any one of those for any joint that might be not working right. I've been to a lot of joints that weren't working right. Now I have a lot of joints that aren't working right. Telemarketers, advertisers, politicians, preachers. What do you say? See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. No one tries to use the scripture to try to take you away from the walk that you have with the Lord. Gets you angry. Makes you hate people. You think that's from God? The Lord Jesus like that? Oh, there was a time when he had to drive out the money exchangers from the temple. There was a time to do that for sure. But God so loved the world. Loved the world. Loved us. Forget the world. God loves me. It's like, wow. Amazing. So he lived, he listened, he learned, and fourthly, he labored.
He had a goal. He's going to reach the top of that mountain. How do you do that? One step at a time. One step at a time. Nothing to look at because you couldn't see anything. The goal was one step at a time, and sometime there'll be a final step, and I'll be there. Let's not make it complicated. Let's make it simple. One decision at a time, one moment at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 day at a time, and then one day, home. You have a goal to get home well, a grand entrance. That'd be great. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Unless God is in it, it's for nothing. For nothing. It's tragic to see in our world things that happen where people get caught up and get hurt and get maimed and for nothing. For nothing, without a purpose. And our hearts just go out to them. And that's what this verse is saying. All that work, all that effort, all that time, all that money for nothing. God's not in it. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. So, I'm a Christian. Where should I go for advice? Whom would you suggest I read? I listened to too many things I shouldn't listen to. I was listening to Christian radio and psychobabble. This is a big thing, psychobabble today. You know what I mean? And somebody calls in, they got this problem, and somebody calls in, they got that problem. And these psychobabblers, they always have this. Well, you need to read my book on that. I just put this book out on that, on your crazy thing that you're going through. And if you read my book, you'll be all right. And I thought, wow, that's where we are today. Just got to get the book, that's all. How come he didn't ask, have you read what Moses wrote? Moses has 5 books. Have you read them? No, he didn't ask that. Have you read what Solomon wrote? Have you read what David wrote? Have you read what Malachi wrote? Hey, did you read Matthew? Did you read Mark? Luke? John? You know there's a guy that we're not sure if he wrote 12 or 13 books, but his name was Paul, used to be Saul. And all kinds of wisdom contained, shared there. Have you read those books? No. No, no. That's not what that babbler asked the caller. The one searching for help. The heady minister promoting his book tried to entice the caller to buy it. That thing that you have that makes you crazy? I wrote a book on that. And if you read my book, you'll be all right. And by the way, since you enjoyed this broadcast, please send us a few dollars. How come God didn't think of that? How come God gave us those books in the Old Testament? And how come God gave us those books in the New Testament? And how come God said that that's it? There aren't going to be any more books. That the answer to get through this life and go into eternity is found in that book. Whatever happened to God's books? I'd like to go around the Christian library and watch people picking books on this and that and one thing or another, and I'd like to ask them, do you know how many chapters there are in Genesis? Can you recite the books of the Bible? How long have you been a Christian? What are you reading now? What are you looking for? What you're looking for, is that not found in the Bible? Yeah. Number 5, proper equipment. How do you make it? He lived, he listened, he learned, he labored, he lasted. Hey, 165 people froze to death up there. You don't go up there with your spandex on, you know what I mean? You go up there equipped. He availed himself of the right people, the right equipment. You've got to have oxygen up there. Some people made it without that, but a little oxygen would help. You got to have equipment. What about us, Christians? We know that. God told us that. He said, put on the whole armor of God. What's he talking about? He went into great detail. Helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he said all, every piece,
put that on. That Roman soldier went out to work. Took him a time to get dressed. He didn't get out of bed and go out and work, stand guard, fight with the Visigoths or whatever the case might be. Get his helmet out, get his sword, put that on, the girdle, put that on. Get that equipment all on there, put the shoes on, go out there. And Paul said, take a stand. Those folks, they saw those Roman soldiers, probably saw them every day. They knew about that equipment. And Paul took that and he brought that into the gospel. He said, this is the way we should dress. And here's how we should stand. And after we're all done, we should still be standing. This is the way we should dress. Be equipped if we expect to last. Once dressed, armed, we pray. And Paul said this, you pray for me. Let me say this, pray for me. Pray for me. I mean, most of you know I need prayer, but some of you don't. Pray for me. Why? But I can do this. You don't pray for me, I can't do this. That was good for Paul. Then he had the right support system. Had all those people. Guys going before him. Guys going behind him. People that put the gear together. All that kind of stuff. He had that. I was thinking about those guys. They looked at him. He's blind. He wants to get to the top of the mountain. I was like, wow. We're going to take a blind man to the top of Mount Everest. How are we going to do that? They believed he could do that. They believed in him. You know, we call that laying on of hands. Some people say that laying on of hands in the Bible, something comes out of you and goes and goes into them and they become like you. The only thing that comes out of you and goes into them when you lay on hands is a virus. Laying on of hands is not that. It's not a transfer of power. Laying on of hands is, I believe in you. I believe you know the Lord. I believe you want to serve. And I'm with you. I'm with you in this. I wouldn't be here today if there weren't a lot of people that were with me in this. That's what he had. And then lastly, and quickly, don't let the defects, that which you are lacking, hinder you. As a matter of fact, the defect can be that thing which propels you. Eric lacked eyesight, but with everything else in place, he made it. You know something? When you realize you're a sinner, when you realize you're dust, there's hope for you. God can do something. When you realize you're defective, when you realize you have nothing to offer and he has everything to offer, yeah, being confident. Paul told the Philippians, be confident. In what? Be confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. Be confident that God saved you for a purpose, and God has worked in your life, and God has allowed you to do things that were wrong so that you might learn a lesson. And God has brought people into your life, and God has opened up opportunities for you that you would honor him. Thank you for listening so well. Let's bow in prayer. Father, pray for each and every one of us because we are so lacking in what's necessary to go through these days and how we need you and how we need to be able to assess what's going on out there in light of your word. Help us, Lord, not to be hiding, but help us, Father, to be true soldiers of the cross. Fill us, we pray, not for our sake, but for Jesus' sake. Amen.